This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is day 6 of the Hajj Chronicles. Day 6, this is the last day of Hajj. For those of you who left yesterday, after doing your stoning in Mina, if you went to Mecca that after sunset, or before sunset actually, you have to leave before sunset. As we said yesterday, if you didn't leave before sunset, you would need to stay. It would be obligatory for you to stay for the 6th day. That's the 3rd day of Tashriq, the 3rd day in which you are praying, supplicating, remembering Allah, and stoning the pillars. Those are the main rites of these 3 days known as the days of Tashriq. So, as we said, today your stoning should have been after the midday prayer. After the midday prayer, not in the morning, as I mentioned yesterday, because some people will say, okay, it's all right, on the last day you can stone early and leave early. No. The stoning for these 3 days are supposed to be after the midday. Now, somebody may argue, well, you know, what's the big deal? What does it matter whether you go before or whether you go after? Well, if it didn't matter, then the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ would not have said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take your rites of Hajj from me. He would have said, just go and do your own thing. But he didn't. He didn't tell us to do it anyway, anyhow, anytime, any place. He told us to take the rites from him. Do them according to how he did them. So this is a part of the Hajj itself. This is a part of submission. Submission to Allah. Submission to his commands. Through following the Messenger of Allah. He has instructed us. And he has done. Where the days were such that what you did on those days were okay, you could do it any which way, you know, you're allowed to do one before the other, that was on the 10th. That was specific for the 10th. He said whether you go on stone first, or you slaughter first, or you make tawaf al-wida first, or you shave, well, the shaving is after too. But leave the shaving out. These 3 acts on the day, outside of the shaving, whether you do your stoning, then do your tawaf, or do your stoning, then you slaughter, or slaughter first, then do your stoning, then do your tawaf al-wida, shaving after doing any 2 of them. This flexibility was on that day. And it was left open. That was the day. The day when you could do it in any order, at any time. Well, not quite any place, because you can only stone where the pillars are. You can't just go stoning tents or, you know, masjids or houses. So we know that doing those rites in their correct places, you know, they need to be there in the correct places. But the timings, the order, this was left open. So where that was allowable, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear and he gave instructions. In the other part of Hajj where he didn't give those instructions, we have to assume that it should be done the way that he did it. with the only exceptions being for those who have special conditions. Women's menses starts in the middle of the Hajj, you know, what do they do at this point, etc. Okay, there are certain allowances that are made for them, etc., to handle their situation. But other than that, we should follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is part of the way of purification. This is the way of coming close to Allah. You know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if it is that you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ, follow me, the messenger of Allah, and Allah will love you. Allah made conditional on the believers in order for them to achieve and to attain, to gain the love of Allah, that they must follow the messenger of Allah. So this is what Hajj is about. Hajj is about following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's about worshipping Allah above all else. It's about following the traditions that were laid by Prophet Abraham, his wife and his child, what they went through, and the rites which became a part of the pilgrimage as a result of what they went through, and as defined by the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last of the messengers of Allah. So we should strive to follow his way. So we do the stoning today, after midday, after what is called the Zawal, where the sun reaches the meridian and it crosses. It's a time of prayer when it's forbidden also. And today we should have prayed our Fajr on time, because it would be a calamity if this morning we got up and we missed the morning prayer. We're trying to purify ourselves. It's not going to help us to miss the beginning prayer of the day. The two sunnahs before it, the two voluntary prayers that should be done before it. We start off the day with that. Sitting in our place, remembering Allah, reading Quran, and when sunrise comes, we can make two units of prayer, as the Prophet ﷺ recommended and said that one who does that gets the reward of making Hajj. Hajj with him. So, you know, this is among the acts which gain us reward throughout the year. And we said that Mina, after Arafah and the Eid, is really practicing and implementing what we should have gained the level of spirituality and obedience that we should have learned, we should have achieved in those beginning days of the actual Hajj pilgrimage. So for those who went yesterday, went to Mecca before sunset, they went into Mecca, or they have gone into into the Mecca's outskirts, you know, rather than going directly to the Kaaba to do the final tawaf. Because we have one more major act besides our prayers, and prayers, of course, once we've gone into Mecca, we should try to make as many of these prayers now before leaving, as many of the prayers as we can in and around the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram, the masjid where a single prayer there is worth 100,000 prayers elsewhere, with the exception of Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, the Mosque of the Prophet, and Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, the Mosque of Sulaiman. So, except for these, all other locations, one prayer in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, or its immediate vicinity, is equal to 100,000 prayers elsewhere. So we should take advantage of this. This is unique, it's special. So before we leave, we should do it. And then before we leave the masjid, the last thing that we should do when we have already planned to travel is what is known as the farewell tawaf. Tawaful wida. The Prophet ﷺ had told us in our prayers that we should make a farewell prayer. We spoke about that before. That in this period of time we should be striving to make every prayer that we do a farewell prayer. The prayer that we would do if we were told that we only have this last prayer to make before we leave this world. Our life will be over. That type of prayer is a unique prayer. A prayer that we don't normally do. We treat prayers in a very casual and negligent way. And of course, the reward from casual and negligent prayers is going to be zero or next to zero. That's the bottom line. So for many of us, we've been praying and wondering why our prayers aren't answered. We just keep praying over and over again. But we're just doing the ritual. Our brains, our minds, our souls, our hearts are elsewhere. Those are not farewell prayers. And those prayers have very little reward. And the prayer is the first thing that we're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. So we've really put ourselves between a rock and a hard place. We are in grave danger. If we don't take care of prayer, we're going to be in very grave danger when we are resurrected. And even in this life, there are consequences. Allah chooses what they will be, and we will have to face them. So, the point is that when we go back into Mecca, don't just go and stay in your housing, in the accommodation which the Hajj group has arranged for you. Just spend there now relaxing, you know, you figure Hajj is over, only thing left is Tawaf al-Wida, you know, I can just now take it easy, relax, you know, chat, walk around, just, Hajj is over. No, it isn't. Until you make Tawaf al-Wida, your Hajj is not over. You're still on Hajj. Yes, you may have taken off your Ihram, which you already did. Those 3 days, most people have taken off the haram. Some people might keep it on due to not having made tawaf al-fadl. They may have kept it on for making tawaf al-fadl so they can take it off later. It's possible. But most people will have taken off their haram. So the whole stoning procedures and going back into Mecca, they're not... They've come out of that state, that consecrated state, wherein they weren't allowed to trim their fingernails, cut their hair, you know, wear perfume. They're supposed to bathe. And some people feel, oh, no, you shouldn't even bathe. Because if you bathe and you rub yourself, maybe hairs will fall off. No. If you remove hair from your body, you trip, you trim, you shave, you whatever, you move hair like that, then there is a consequence. You have to slaughter an animal. But if you just accidentally, whilst bathing, rubbing your body, your face, whatever, some hairs fall off. Women are washing their hair and hairs fall off. There's nothing. That doesn't count. It's not considered as having violated the state of consecration known as ihram. So once we have left that state, that consecrated state, we're now stepping closer to the state that we will be when we return home. We're not under restrictions anymore. Restrictions are being lifted. So now how do we behave? Do we just leave the Hajj behind us? Ah, finished, done. Alhamdulillah. Now I can get back to my normal life. See, if we're taking it that way, then for sure when we get back home, whatever we learned on Hajj will be gone, will be lost. Our Hajj will be lost. Because how we conduct ourselves after returning will determine whether the Hajj was acceptable or not, whether it purified us of sin or not. We will know. We can tell by how we conduct ourselves. So we have to be very careful. This last day, as I advise people who are there to stay on for this last day, you've come all of this way from around the world, you've come here. Don't cut it short. That's really for people, you know, who live in Arabia, close to the Haram. They can come and go anytime they want. You know, they can make Umrah. It's just very easy for them. It's there, available to them. They want to go back on the 12th instead of the 13th, no problem. But for you, you who have come from all the way across the world, you want to come and cut things short? It's not really worth it. The advantage of leaving a day early is far less than the advantage of staying on for that extra day. It was prescribed. It was set for our benefit. So, when we go into Mecca, this Tawaf al-Wida, we're going to save it so that it is basically the last thing that we do in Mecca before going, is Tawaf al-Wida. So if there were some shopping that you need to do, go and do it first. Don't go and make your tawaf al-wida and then you're going to go shopping and hanging around and maybe you're there for another day. No, no. This is the last thing that you do before leaving the haram, leaving Mecca. So do all the other things you have to do. And now, because you're still in that Hajj mode, because you still have tawaf al-wida, then during that period of time, you should be still conscious, aware of what you have just experienced. Mentally, some changes should have taken place. So you are conducting yourself in another way, in a way influenced by the rites of Hajj, the pilgrimage rites. So after you have finished off all the things that you need to do, and you're now prepared to go, many times the buses will come in and wait for the people. You go make your tawaf, you join the bus, and you leave. Now we have trains which are coming through. So it's going to depend on whether you're on a train or whether you're on a bus, whether you're in a car, depending on the group that you're traveling with. Anyway, you come back into the haram and you head for the black stone. If you are able to kiss it, you kiss it. Touch it. If you have to fight to touch it, then don't. It's better that you don't touch it than to hurt another Muslim trying to touch it. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us, Al-Muslim, the true Muslim, Man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. The true Muslim is one from whose tongue and his hand Muslims are safe. This is the true Muslim, Prophet ﷺ has told us. So anytime you have to weigh between harming a Muslim and taking a benefit, always give up that benefit and avoid harming another Muslim or another human being. Muslim, because mostly Muslims will be living amongst Muslims, but in general, it's harming another fellow human being or even harming an animal. So leave it. Wave instead. And when you wave at it, you don't kiss your hand. Yes, you touched it, you kiss your hand. The Prophet instructed. But when you just wave, you don't kiss your hand. You wave and you start your tawaf. The black stone is the starting point of the tawaf. We're not worshipping the black stone. And that's why we can do the whole hajj without ever touching the black stone. So don't think that it is an object of worship. It's not. And we make the tawaf. If possible, between the Maqam Ibrahim and the Kaaba, it's better to do in there. If you can't, you have to go partly around behind Maqam Ibrahim. You do what you have to do, what you're able to do. You avoid what is called Hijr Ismail. Behind the Kaaba, there's a semicircular wall with two entrances, one on one side of the Kaaba and one on the opposite side. You see people going in there and praying. If you walk through there, you have cancelled your tawaf. You have to go and do that tawaf over again because it's considered to be a part of the Kaaba. When Prophet Abraham built the Kaaba, he didn't build it in the shape that we see it now, in a cube shape. It was cube-like in the front part, so the front part was this shape, but then the back was circular. That was the shape in which he built it. So that represents the remainder of the Kaaba, which in the last rebuilding, in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the pagan Qurayshites, when they ran out of halal money, they were rebuilding the Kaaba and they had to make sure that they knew this much, though they were, you know, off the deen, etc. But they knew that they couldn't use corrupt money to build the Kaaba. So, when they ran out of clean money, they had to stop, and that's where they ended up with the cube. And then for the remainder, they just put that wall to indicate the remainder of the Kaaba. That space became known as Hijr Ismail. Some said that Ismail was buried there, but it's nonsense. It's not true. That's not the case. So the tawaf should go around there. And when you come to the other side, opposite the black stone, you touch the Yemeni corner. If you're able. If you can't touch it, then leave it. You keep walking, you don't wave, you keep walking. And from there, you make your dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya. Oh Allah, give us in this life. Wa fil akhirah, and in the life to come. hasana. Good. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Allah give us good in this life and good in the next life. Wa qina adhaban nar, and protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. That's the one dua which is prescribed. So all those dua books that you see people buying and spending a lot of time with, these dua books are really of no use. Because the dua should come from your heart. Somebody's just reading text in Arabic and you're just repeating after. There's no value in that. If they're reciting in Arabic and you're an Arabic speaker, okay, this is a reminder of duas that you need to make. Good for you to make. Though they say, well, you make this dua on this circuit and this one on this circuit and that one on that circuit, there's actually no evidence for that. You can do whatever duas you want to do. And the best duas will be the ones coming from your own heart. Those are the best. So, in this case, focus on your own dua. This is between you and Allah. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ had said that tawaf, going around the Kaaba, is salah, it is prayer, it is formal prayer, except that they're speaking in it. We speak in it. That's the only difference. So keep that in mind as you make the tawaf. And when you complete the tawaf, now that is the last of your relationship with Kaaba, Mecca, you leave. This is the time now to leave. And you head back to Jeddah to catch your plane. Or from here, many people go up to Medina, north to Medina, to pray in the Prophet's mosque. Because the Hajj is over. Now you leave. Now, some people question, is it better to just stay in Mecca? You know, you have another week, or another 3 days, or another whatever. People go to Medina and they spend time there and they come back. And people will tell you, oh, you know, Medina is even nicer than Mecca. But if you only have 3 or 4 days, it's better for you to stay in Mecca. Because those prayers there are 100 times more valuable than prayer in Medina. 100 times more valuable than prayer. Each prayer in Medina, in the Masjid of the Prophet, each prayer in Mecca is worth 100 times more than that prayer in Medina. So then where should you be? Is there any point of question? Should there be any debate of which one's better? No. If the Prophet ﷺ has told us that, then it is clear that the best place to be is in Mecca. Better for you to stay on those extra 3 days there in Mecca, make your extra prayers there, save your tawaf till the last tawaf al-wida, yeah, the last final tawaf, it's the last thing before you leave. If you want to do nafil tawaf, you can. You make the intention that this is your final tawaf, then that's it. You don't do anything after that. You leave. It's better that you do that. Better for you to stay on in Mecca. But people say, but you come, this one chance for you to get here. You come here and, you know, maybe you never come again. Did you pray in the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ? Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say that whoever comes for Hajj and prays there and does not come and pray in Medina has slighted me? Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say that? No, he didn't. Yeah, there are some narrations which are quoted, but they're false. They're not true. They're not authentic. It is better for you to spend that time in Mecca. If you come again for Umrah, okay, after Umrah, you've completed your Umrah, you can go to Medina. Or when you are coming here, go to Medina first on your way, and then you come into Mecca. Then after that, give your time to Mecca. Priority is Mecca. Even though maybe, as people say, the people of Medina, they're much nicer than the people of Mecca. But hey, we didn't come here to socialize. We came here to worship Allah. So don't let these other issues shape on. Satan will put these ideas in your head. Ah, it's better, you know? The people of Medina, they're much nicer people. Better to spend your time with them. You know, you'll feel a whole other vibe and things of being in Medina. And then there is also, you know, to go visit Uhud and the graveyard of Medina, Al-Baqi' and all this other. But did the Prophet ﷺ say that when you make Hajj, make sure you go to Al-Baqi' go to Uhud, go to, you know, Masjid Qiblatain, Masjid Quba? Did he say this? No, he didn't. Those people who came to make Hajj came and made Hajj. They spent their time in Mecca. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Mecca is Hajj. Hajj is Mecca. Hajj is Arafah, actually, that's what Prophet ﷺ said. But I'm saying in relationship to where you're going to do your Hajj. Hajj is connected with Mecca. You stay within and close to Mecca. So once that is completed, then you leave. Today, make you can leave by Maghrib, but even if you ended up leaving after Maghrib. Morning really is over by Maghrib time, because then the third day of Tashriq is over. Remember, the days begin with sunset. Right? The day begins with the setting of the sun. Once the sun has set, the new day, the night of the next day, begins. This is the lunar calendar. So the day is going to be over. This third day will be over with the setting of the sun. So make sure you do your stoning before the setting of the sun. Now once the sun has set, are you obliged to leave Mina right away? No. But because you want to be going into Mecca, arranging your affairs so that you can start doing your prayers in Mecca. If you can catch Isha in Mecca, try it. From the time Mina is over, you're going from Mecca now. Because this is where you're ending it. You're ending it in Mecca. So that Isha, that night, if you can get in, go in and catch Isha. And then pray your Fajr, and your Dhuhr, and your Asr, and your Maghrib, and your Isha in Masjid al-Haram. Try to keep all of your prayers there as much as possible, as much as the circumstance will allow you to do. Some people have got suites, hotels, whatever, right next to the Haram, so that's very easy for them to do it. Maybe you are in the outskirts of Mecca, where the hotel, whatever, they put you in, so you can't just go in and out just like that. It's not as easy, you know? So they'll drop you in there for Fajr, and they'll collect you at Isha time. That's it. You can't stay on any further, you know, it's limited. Or you have to come back for lunch, and you go back out again. Whatever, you follow the schedule that's there. Try to spend as much time as you can there in Mecca with Masjid al-Haram. Finish off your Hajj in the nicest way possible, the most pleasing to Allah way, the way which Allah is most happy with, because you have given your all, everything that you have, you have given it to your pilgrimage. May Allah accept it and reward you with purification from sin. Your return be one like a child newly born, free from sin. that we get the ultimate reward from Hajj, which is Jannah. May Allah give you all Jannah. And for those of us who are not there, and even those of us that are there, we wish you also an acceptable Eid, or extension of the Eid these last 3 days. تَقَبَّ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. May Allah accept from us and from you. Eid Mubarak, Eid Kareem, Eid Saeed. Have a wonderful Eid. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.